Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
Happy Thanksgiving, and this is the next to last message in this series we've been exploring, where we've entitled it Unleashing the Power of a Generous Heart. And we know God desires that we be a generous people, because simply God is a generous God. God gave us His first, and God gave us His best, and God giving us His only begotten Son, Jesus, His firstborn. If that fact doesn't convince us that God loves us, if that fact doesn't convince us that God wants us to prosper, what could ever convince us, huh? I mean, really. So, as I said, this is Thanksgiving week, and it moves us into the season called Advent, the four Sundays as we move toward Christmas. And there's a tradition, okay, in the scriptures, in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, that many Christian churches observe that we've never really observed here at NC4. It's called the offering of first fruits. I want to talk about that this morning. And if there's any prophetic sense in me at all, I believe that God desires that we as a church make a first fruits offering over this time from Thanksgiving through Christmas. And I believe it's going to be a seed. I think as we, each individual family, each household, makes a first fruits offering, it's going to be a seed that will be, it will lead to an explosion of increase in the households in this church, in the businesses in this church in the year 2019. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, all right. So I want to talk about this because it's a new thing for us, all right? This morning, I want to explain how we're going to move through that season and do this. And I want to hasten to say that I am not talking about tithing. I'm not talking about free will offerings. Those are different financial principles. This is something different. I'm talking about worshiping the Lord with our first and our best. So the title of my message is this morning is The First Belongs to God. Now, I'm going to do something that's a little different this morning, because I believe that God wants us to catch a leading of the Holy Spirit, which is different than being informed. I don't want to inform us. I want us to catch something. So I'd like for us to stand in both Mukunji and in Bethlehem. If you're in your car and driving, don't stand, all right? But for those of you who are watching or listening online, please attach your hearts to the verses of Scripture that I'm about to read from Proverbs 3, verses 9 through 13. And I'm going to read our text this morning and ask us to repeat it. Okay, I'll read in each verse, and I'm going to ask you to just repeat after me, because we're declaring something, I believe, kind of, we're breaking a religious spirit regarding giving and regarding money and regarding all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to ask you to do that. Before I do that, I want to make mention that in all the book of Proverbs, none of the verses have overtly to do with the law itself, with the Pentateuch, except these verses that I'm going to read. So it's really interesting. Of all of the law, Solomon brings this in as a matter of importance. And so we're going to declare it now. Okay, I'm going to read, and I'll be the leader, you be the people for the moment. Is that okay? Yeah, all right. Let's declare this together. Honor the Lord from your wealth.
Honor the Lord from your wealth.
And from the first of all your produce.
And from the first of all your produce.
So your barns will be filled with plenty.
So your barns will be filled with plenty.
And all your vats will overflow with new wine.
And all your vats will overflow with new wine.
My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. Do not loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even as the father corrects the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man or woman who finds wisdom. And the man or woman who gains understanding. Okay, will you please just remain standing and agree with me in prayer. O Lord our God, No, you don't have to repeat this one. Just agree with me, okay? It takes too long. All right. All right. Oh, Lord, our God, the Bible says you had been our dwelling place from generations past. Before the mountains were brought forth from forever, you have formed the earth. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And for this reason, Lord, we give you thanks and praises. We honor your holy name. We say thank you because you do always open our ears to hear the truth in your word and to see the blessings inherent in your word. So today, Father, please open our ears to hear again and open our eyes to see again the secrets of overwhelming blessing in your word. And help us to be diligent enough to do that accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen and amen. Amen. Now you can be seated, all right? There's a great clip I want to show you. We're doing things a little different this morning. Great clip I want to show you. It segues right into Christmas from Thanksgiving. Let me just quickly explain what a first fruits offering is in the Bible and how we're going to be obedient to how the Lord wants us to worship in this season, and I'm going to begin it with this clip. So I'll turn your attention to the overhead. So what is a first fruits offering? A first fruits offering is a celebration of how God has increased us in a previous season. Let me explain that. In Exodus 23, 19 and 34, 26, God tells his people, bring the best of the first fruits of the soil to the house of the Lord. It's got to be brought to the house of the Lord and brought as an offering of worship. Take a portion of what you've harvested over the previous season and bring to the house of the Lord as a celebration of God's goodness and faithfulness, your gift. And that gift becomes a sown seed so that God will make the giver rich and ensure that God will bless the giver's plans over the subsequent season, over the upcoming season. First fruits makes its way into the New Testament as well. It's not just an Old Testament principle. Romans 11, 16 says that if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so the branches. The Holy Spirit fell in Jerusalem. I was just in Jerusalem and saw where specifically that happened. That the Holy Spirit fell. When did the Holy Spirit fall? The Holy Spirit fell on the feast of first fruits, Pentecost, right? Jesus himself, as he was presented in the temple as a baby, was in fact a first fruits offering. And Mary and Joseph presented him, of course, according to the scriptures. What a sign for Jesus to be a first fruit offering, huh? So the heart of the Father is that we worship him with our first and with our best. A first fruits offering then is this prescribed seed to produce future blessing in the upcoming season. Now, I'm not a farmer. How many, it's interesting, how many farmers do we have here? Not many. I don't see even a hand. Oh, there's somebody. You got one farmer here. So you're exempt from what I'm going to say here, Jenny. All right? So I'm not a farmer. That means I don't accumulate and I don't count my wealth on a fixed seasonal basis. Okay. But most of us operate financially on the basis of a calendar year. And so I can reflect and I can ask God, what is my harvest for this calendar year, 2018? What is it that God, you have prospered me with? Well, what then can I give to you as a representative, of this thing, whatever it is that I've reaped in 2018? Okay. What then can I give to you as I consider my harvest, Lord? What can I give to you as I consider my harvest or the harvest of my household, which is the first and which is the best? All right. And this is a representation, Lord, of what you've caused me to reap in my own life. But more than that, it's a seed for my plans for 2019. Huh? All right, the next season. Okay. So I presented this concept as it's framed in the Bible, and the next question is this. Well, what do we do about it? How do we prepare a first fruits offering? And the answer is this is really the perfect season to do it. It really is, because we're coming to the close of the calendar year, and we have this Thanksgiving prayer service that's coming up on Thursday morning. We're moving into Thanksgiving, and we'll be joining together in prayer this Thursday morning to recognize how very, very, very much God has blessed us. Or am I the only one? Huh? And so it's this great thing. By the way, regarding Thanksgiving prayer, I know you cooking turkeys and traveling and all kinds of things are going on, but it's really interesting because I get such palaver over the course of the year about church and state. Oh man, we're becoming godless, we're becoming, you know, more secular. Christmas is becoming secularized, and I hear that all the time, and I get some of that, I understand that, but it's interesting that the only real declared holiday in our nation that attaches itself to God and God's provision is Thanksgiving itself. And it's the least celebrated in churches. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just amazing? George Washington proclaimed that there needs to be, this is way back in, I think, 1781, proclaimed there needs to be a holiday where people come together and they dedicate the day to thanking God for all that they've had and been given over the previous season. And I'm going to make it a matter of a declaration of Congress, and it's going to be a day that we turn our hearts to the Lord for his absolute goodness toward us and toward this nation, and churches rarely anymore even have services. How's that? But boy, they better not touch Christmas. Yeah? So one of the things we do at New Covenant, and I'm not saying you got to be here, I'm saying you got to be thankful. All right? But we get together 7:30, it runs from 7:30 to 8:30 on Thanksgiving morning, and all we do is take communion whenever it's spontaneous and just pray prayers of Thanksgiving. We pray thanks and thanks and thanks and thanks and more thanks. I am so built up. I am so juiced by the end of that service. I'm ready to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. It's a great service. So we invite you to bring friends, and you'll be in and out in an hour. And all we do is thank God for the greatness of our living God and what he's provided for us. Yeah? Now, if you can't make it, why don't you do that at home? Huh? How many people, I mean, other than a quick prayer over Thanksgiving meal and a holding hands for 10 seconds, how many of us really join together and thank God according to the purpose of the Thanksgiving holiday itself? All right, I'm mentioning that because one of the things that we can do this Thanksgiving as we're being thankful is assess what is it that God has caused me to reap over this year 2018. What is it that he's given us? What is it that he's given me? What is it that he's given our household? What is it that he's given our family? What is it that he's given our children? What is it that I've reaped that I can be thankful for over the course of this year? See, we all need to observe, if we're going to do first fruit offering, all of the ways that God has increased us. Whoops. Wow. We all need to observe all of the ways that God has increased us through 2018. All right? No one here can say, I have no reason to celebrate what God has done for me. Is there anyone here who can say that? I have no reason to celebrate. All of us have good stuff that's happened because of God. Even if it's been a bad year, all of us have good stuff that's happened because of God, right? In 2018, there are lots of things that God spared us from, huh? There are opportunities God has opened for us over the course of the year, right? Opportunities maybe with neighbors, opportunities with jobs, opportunities with school, whatever. There are opportunities God has opened to us, to our families, to our children. Some of us got into college this year, all right? I went to Israel. How's that for a biggie, right? So I had no idea I was going until about a month before I went. It was like that kind of thing. Some got a passing grade when you thought you were going to fail. Some of your cars passed inspection when you thought they were going to fail. Am I right? Could cost you money. Are you there? All right. Some of us got healed. All right. Some of us got married. Some of us got pregnant. Some of us narrowly avoided a car accident. That could have cost a lot of money, yeah. I mean, how many of us went, whoosh, that was almost a done deal, yeah? That's God. That's good stuff. That's God's stuff we can be thankful for. Yeah. Eh? Some of us, you know, narrowly did that. Some of us, you know, saved money, you know, on the purchase of a home. There's all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff that God did, and we need to take account of that and develop a seed offering and say this: God, I am celebrating you with this seed this year because of all the good stuff you've caused to happen to me over this season, this harvest season, which is 2018, all right? So this is a perfect time that we can do it. Now, here's the neat thing. We're going to say on Thursday morning, we're going to get together, and you guys can get together in your house if you can't come here and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, for your great goodness. Thank you for your regard toward me, toward my children. God, thank you, Lord. And we can go on and on and on. Even if someone passed this year, a good friend of ours, Trisha and I, passed just recently. And the one thing we can say is, thank you for her life. Thank you for the incredible witness that reached thousands because of her faithfulness. This is good stuff that God has given. Are you there? And this got to be part of our harvest season. Okay, but when we do that assessment on Thursday, we get together for prayer again on Monday from 6:30 to 7:30. We don't take it beyond that. There'll be childcare. And we're gonna do a celebratory prayer. We're not fasting this year. We're not gonna fast from Sunday to Monday because we wanna celebrate. And we wanna get together. We'll have four breakthrough testimonies. Two gals, two guys are gonna give breakthrough testimonies that happened this year. And as they do that, as they give the breakthrough testimonies, we're just gonna thank God and we're gonna pray for wisdom so that we will know out of the harvest that we've assessed over the Thanksgiving season, what is the first and the best for us this year? Are you there? All right. See, we're creating a little liturgy here, and it's important. What is the first and the best? By the way, it doesn't have to be the chronologically first. All right, it's not when Boaz went into the field in the book of Ruth to pick up what was the first and the best. The first and the best is not necessarily the first sheaf of grain that he harvested. It was when he got to a field that he realized this field, this portion of the field has the best grain in the field. I'm taking this sheaf and I'm going to offer it to the Lord as a celebration of Thanksgiving. Are you there? It's that kind of thing. So it's going to be an important meeting on Monday night for an hour. We're just going to ask the Lord, Lord, give us wisdom. I mean, out of all this good stuff that you've given me this year, out of all this good stuff that you've given my family this year, give us a spirit of discernment to suss out what's the first and the best. And then that's going to be the basis of a seed that I want to plant for 2019. Make sense? Huh? It's that kind of thing. All right. So where am I here? We need to discern in our hearts what is the first and the best. And I said this isn't necessarily chronological. This is the first and the best in terms of harvest that I've reaped this year. And then we have the whole Advent season to just ask God, well, okay, how do I form a seed offering out of this? How do I have a first fruits offering? And what we do is this. We ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in what might be an appropriate seed. All right? Like, I'll give you an example. In 2019, a bunch of good stuff happened. All this good stuff happened in 2018. A lot of bad stuff happened in 2018, but I'm talking about the good stuff, yeah? And even the bad stuff is used of God, yeah? All right. So I'm thinking this through, and I know that in a number of years I'm going to retire. Maybe this is the year that I take something, and Trisha and I sow something into our retirement. In other words, sow something from this past year so that in a subsequent season we reap beyond what we can ask or think. Does that sound crazy? But I also know that I feel like the Lord is saying I need to do some book publishing this year. And this past year, one of the wonderful things that happened, consequent to Steve and Laura and some others, is I got a manuscript done, okay? So I don't know, maybe some way I need to offer that up to God, or I need to do something in seed this year for a subsequent season where God's going to prosper me. Are you there? Now, this is a biblical principle. Israelites did this every year. You there? All right. Okay, this is part of Jesus' life, right? Okay, so we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in what might be an appropriate seed. Okay, we need to say to God, Lord, this seed that I've come up with is a representation of what you've caused me to reap in my life, and I want to give a seed to take me into the next season. And I need to recognize that the species of the seed that I sow is the species of the seed that I reap. Is that too complex for us? The species of the seed that I sow is the species of the seed that I reap. So maybe you say, I don't have any time. God, you know, you've done this for me and done that for me this year, but I don't have any time at all. But this year, what I'm going to give is my seed. I'm going to give a seed of time. I'm going to volunteer in a specific area that I know you've called me to. Huh? Or maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's Lord, I really believe that you want me to break through in this particular area this year, and I'm giving this financial seed to see this thing happen. And so that's the principle. I want it to be a seed to take me into the next season. The species of the seed needs to be the species of the seed that I sow will be the species of the seed that I reap. And we need to recognize that the measure with which we sow is the measure with which we reap. I mean, that's all through the scriptures, yeah? Right? And so I appreciated what Tyler had to say, because he really nailed it, didn't he? These kids, in giving their little, are giving far more than 10%. It's that kind of thing. Now, here's how it's going to work. All of this comes together on Sunday, December 23rd, before Christmas. And we're going to put baskets up here. That's our Sunday Christmas service. We're going to have a great Christmas Eve service. Every year we take a Christmas offering and we seed into something future for NC4. Usually it's a mission. This year it's going to be our mission internally, all right? But what we're going to do on the 23rd is we're not going to take a Christmas offering. We're going to have a seed service. Huh? And while we worship, we're going to come forward and bring our first fruits into the house of the Lord. And I believe we're going to see an explosion in 2019 of God's goodness like we've not seen before in the history of this church, yeah? I don't normally get specific words for upcoming years, but boy, I have been just between Israel and coming here and so forth, I feel even as I'm speaking now, the word for 2019 is mercy. We're going to see mercy like we've not seen before as we sow these seeds. Huh? Mercy in our households, mercy in our family, mercy over the church. Who knows? Mercy over the nation? Huh? Does this nation need mercy? Oh, Lord. All right. So, on December 23rd, then, we're going to come and we're going to sow the seeds. And we'll have baskets up here. And we're not going to take an offering. We're going to worship through an offering. Huh? And people can come up and kneel and just pray and put their seed into the basket. And you say, well, I don't know what I would give. Pray about it. You guys hear from God, yeah? If you don't hear from God, come talk to Tricia. She hears from God. She'll tell you what to give. All right? All right. So it all comes together. We're praying on Thanksgiving morning. We're praying on Monday night. And then we're going to get together on December 23rd. We're coming here and we're going to give. We're going to sow an offering into 2019. A lot of churches do this on New Year's Eve. But I know that if we did a New Year's Eve thing, about 27 of you would be here. We're going to do it. That's a big service, the 23rd. We're going to sing Christmas carols. We're going to worship the Lord. And we're going to bring a first fruits offering to the Lord. Does that sound good? Yeah. Three people think it sounds good. Yeah. How do you motivate this bunch? Now, for those of you who are listening online, We'll make sure that you have a way of sowing a first seed offering. Well, if you continue to listen online over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll make sure that you have a way. The first fruit offering here, the financial portion, is going to go into seeding the growth that God is going to provide NC for in 2019. Bringing in Selena, new pastor and his wife here, and maybe seeding it into a new facility in Mukunji. We're going to seed internally this year. We don't do that very often because we give so much away. We're going to do it. It's going to be great. Okay. So we offer our first fruits as our praise offering for 2019. I've taken some hits of late, over the depth of my teaching, the way that I teach, which tends to have a lot of depth to it. I know it's part of who I am. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd probably have ended up in an academic career, that kind of thing. But it's who I am, and I'm trying to react to this in a good way, okay? But I want to explain to you why we do the kinds of things that we're doing, okay? When I was in Israel, I had this opportunity. I was baptizing in the Jordan River, baptizing people. Isn't that neat? And I was baptizing at the very place the two things happened. It was the place where John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and it was also opposite Gilgal at the place where the children of Israel went into the Promised Land. And it was crowded. There was other people, other groups baptizing there. And so we had to go down the river into a place that wasn't the central area of baptism. And I was going to baptize this guy. He was a big guy. His name was Dr. Sunday. That was his name. He's a pediatrician. And he's really a big guy. And we're going to go down into the river. And he looked down at the river. He's a really spiritual guy too. I really like this guy. He was raised Methodist. He's a Christian all his life, but suddenly he realized that God wanted him to be baptized, and he said, "I'm in Israel. There's the Jordan. Guess what I'm going to do, right?" And so I'm going to go and baptize this guy. And he says, Stuart Bell was baptizing with me, and Stuart said, "Jack, why don't you go in first because you're the bigger guy." And then Dr. Sunday said to me, "Jack, why don't you go in first and find out the depth of the water before I go in?" I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." So anyway, so I wade into the Jordan River, right? There's reeds here and there. It's really magical. You know, I'm wading in. It's muddy and it's cold, all right? And I'm wading in, and I'm testing with my feet how deep the river is. And I'm also trying to figure out how far in I can go to make room for both Stuart and I to be on the two sides of this guy and to baptize him in the name of Jesus, right? And so I'm doing that, and as I'm going back, I go back so far, and I'm about up to here, and I reach back, and there's nothing there with my foot. And I know that if I go back, if I had not tested this before, I did it very gingerly and slowly and discerned the depth of the river, I knew that I would be swimming in the Jordan River. Now, the problem with that is that from here to right here, okay, away, is a big, like, buoy line right down the middle of the Jordan River. And on the other side of that buoy line, on this side is Palestine, on the other side of that buoy line is the Kingdom of Jordan. And the Kingdom of Jordan is not the same as Palestine or the Kingdom of Israel, or the State of Israel. Are you with me now? And about 30 yards in that direction are Jordanian military with guns, with machine guns. So if I go swimming and come up on the wrong side of the buoy, I am no longer in Israel. I am now in the Kingdom of Jordan in my swimming trunks with no passport. Are you there? Now, I'm thinking, okay. So I got in, and then we baptized. We baptized. It was wonderful. I baptized Dr. Sunday and so forth. That evening, we were having dinner. And I said, "Thanks for giving me the heads up on finding out the depth of that river." He said, "This guy's really spiritual, even though he's a pediatrician." Anyway, so he says to me, he says, "Listen," he said, "when I saw that you were going in first, when Stuart said, 'You go in first,' He said, when I saw that, he said, I got a word from God. I said, well, what was it? He says, how did he phrase it? For lack of knowledge, my people perish. It's true. True story. And so let me tell you a story. He said, a couple of years ago, I had to travel from Nigeria to Europe to go to a conference. And he said, we were saving up to start a practice in the UK, my wife and I. And so we were saving every penny. And I went to this conference, and for 9 days, I hardly ate anything because I couldn't afford the meals, but I needed to get through to the conference. Finally, on the 9th day, I was so hungry, I went out and got myself a really good meal. And the guy I was with said, well, you're putting that down like crazy. The guy I was with said, why are you shoveling down that food? He said, I've needed for 9 days. I've been saving money. He said, but part of the cost of the conference was that you got all your meals. And he said to me, and God spoke to me that day and said, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. So one of the reasons that we do things that have a measure of depth to them here is I really believe. I mean, look, we need to feel good messages all the time and make sure everybody knows God loves them. Well, if you don't know God loves you here, you know, or, you know, do that kind of stuff. Maybe we'll do more of that and that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, what's driven my ministry in terms of where we go and how we follow the scriptures is the absolute notion that if we don't take the Word of God as our measuring stick, if we don't approach the Word of God as to how to conduct our families, if we don't take the Word of God seriously regarding marriage, if we don't take the Word of God seriously regarding how we raise our children, if we don't take the Word of God seriously, if we don't preach on how to have a more prosperous life, then we'll not have the faith to reach in God for a more prosperous life. Huh? And so that's the whole reason that we're going. We ignore God's involvement in the way we make our living and how we prosper in our finances and all that. When we ignore God's involvement in those kinds of things in our life, it's a jeopardy. And for lack of knowledge, we can perish. Yeah? Or at least partially perish. Those kinds of things. It's that kind of thing. All right, one last thing. One of the things we're going to do, I'm giving you a big preview here, this Advent, is we're going to have one Sunday, and I'll be able to tell you next week which Sunday it is, which is going to have to do with the pregnancy of Christmas, all right? And we're going to have a very experienced person with pregnancy talk to us about the pregnancy of Christmas, and that's certainly not me. So, I would like us to invite pregnant gals to come and be blessed that morning. I feel like God is going to do something really wonderful. Maybe you know someone in your neighborhood, you can just say, we're praying for the prosperity of pregnant women. We're also going to pray for women to get pregnant. And so some of you guys don't stay away because of that, you know. But for women who really desire to have children, we're going to be praying for healthy pregnancies, going to be doing that. And that's probably going to be in 3 weeks or 5 weeks. We have to figure out who can be where when. Does that sound good to everybody? It's going to be a great season. See, if somebody gets pregnant in December, guess what? We got a 2019 baby. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So that's where we're going. And we've never done first fruits offering. A lot of churches do them. Usually they do them on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. We're going to do it this year, and God's going to bless us. And we're going to give abundantly, and we're going to seal this whole idea of unleashing the power of a generous heart, because God has a generous heart toward us. Hallelujah. Before I do that, I just want to say this, just a few words. If you're here this morning, you need to understand that the most important gift that was ever given is Jesus Christ himself. And, you know, There's so much in the world. We've all sinned. The scripture says we've all blown it. We've all sinned. We've separated ourselves from God, consequent to sin. But God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. And this morning is a morning that you can receive the gift that God's given if you've never done that before. Or if you said you've done it or you had some kind of an but it never took or whatever, this is a great morning to do something like that. And so I want to give everybody the opportunity to do that. And we'll join you as a congregation in doing that. If you're here this morning and you're feeling something in you like rise up, like faith, or God wants to do something this morning, right? So let's bow our heads and all pray together. Just a few words that changes lives forever. And let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from anything that I know is wrong. And I thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be set free. I want to receive the gift of the Father, especially going into this Christmas season. I want to receive you, Jesus. I thank you that you forgive me. I thank you for the gift of your Spirit. By faith, I receive you. Be with me forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.